Hello and welcome. This is Bhavna, the Golden Diet, and I am today on my podcast, Everyday Ripples, bringing a guest speaker for the first time. And I wanted to introduce you to her and tell you about her, who actually got me into podcasting. Her name, Almaz Virani. So I'm going to tell you who she is, and then I will bring her on. Okay. So Almaz Virani is a podcast coach, keynote speaker, and public speaking coach, author, corporate trainer, and change maker. Let me tell you more. So as I was saying, she's a trainer and change maker. She gave her speech, first speech, actually at the age of 11. And since then, she has been speaking. Like, wow, that's amazing. She's known for her exceptional panel moderation and interviewing skills. She's a poet, backpacker, and a single mom. She's a power-packed personality with very high positive energy, which is what I love. And that's why she's on our show, because that's what we are all about, positive energy and creating changes in the world. With a long career in corporate training, she has trained and coached more than 35,000 people across several organizations. She's a podcast host for Beyond Clutch, a show that creates awareness on gender stereotyping. Unplugged Baatein with Almaz Virani, in India, a show where she unplugs life through interesting conversations. Changemakers, a show about inspiring changemaker stories. Founder of a forum called Express Her, a platform for collective feminist voices. She was invited by the United Nations Refugee Relief in Rwanda on World Refugee Day as part of their feminist agenda, and her story was featured in Rwanda Times. Member of several feminist forums across Southeast Asia, co-facilitator and mentor to empower women change makers. Part of Change's org's flagship program, she creates change with three petitions on change.org has led one to victory. Her book, recent book published, Change Makers, features 11 powerful stories of Indian women who brought changes in the world through their petitions on change.org. This book was launched by Javed Akhtar, world-renowned, he is world-renowned writer. And Nandita Das, she is an actress, Indian actress, Chef Ranveer Brar, amidst extensive media coverage. She's a public speaking coach who works with influencers and VIPs to help them improve stage presence. Heavily covered by media and news, she is a powerful brand. She's also the founder of a Ninja Podcasters program that helps you launch, scale, and grow your podcast from scratch. So, Almaz Virani, and I just want to introduce you all to her. She is here, and welcome, Almaz. I am so excited to have you here on my show and honored. And so tell me a little bit about your book, and then we'll talk and delve into your journey, because this looks such an interesting thing. And
yeah, so I am super excited as well, Bhavna. It's so good to see your journey as a podcaster and to be here. I mean, really happy. And I love your show. It's about ripples, everyday ripples, right? And that's what life is about. So I'm equally excited to be here. I recently launched my book. I'm a published author, and Yay. It kind of feels nice. Yay. Every time I say that, right? And I always say this, that this book has had its own destiny, and it's kind of carved out its own path, because there's such a collective energy and force in the book. We're talking about 11 powerful women that actually created powerful changes in the world out of nothing, ordinary citizens, they created a citizens movement, a collective citizens movement, and they've actually brought about changes. And it's really about their journey of how they were able to move beyond their own shadows into light and being the lamp to change the world. So yeah, it's a good book. Go read it, grab a copy, and I'm sure it's going to inspire people to bring about changes themselves.
That is so wonderful, because you know, this is what this show is all about, creating changes in the world, and stories inspire people, you know. So how did you get this idea of writing this book?
Okay, so actually, you know, writing a book on women's stories was a long lost idea, which found me again. That's what happened. So like you introduced me, I also have this forum called Express Her. And Express Her was actually a venture that I launched. And it was basically to bring women under one forum to have a collective feminist movement. I wanted to launch like a Facebook lookalike for women, but for women that actually wanted to bring changes in the world. Now, a part of that business was Express Her Stories. That was part of my vision. I wanted to do Express Her Stories, but I wanted to actually publish women's stories. But, you know, to cut a long story short, that didn't happen, but Destiny had other plans. So that came back at some point in time in my life. And a fellow change maker picked up the phone all of a sudden and said, "Hey, Almaz, I have this lovely idea. You should totally do a book on women change makers from the She Creates Change program." And I was like, wow, that sounds like an Express Her Stories dream revived again. And I kind of pulled it from under the sofa and I said, I'm going to do this. You know, there's no way I'm not going to do it. So that's how the idea of Express Her Stories, which was buried somewhere, it came back to life with that one phone call. And I think, you know, the idea was a seed and I found a way to nurture it and have that plant grow. Many people came along and today it's bearing fruit. So that's where we are.
Wonderful. So congratulations on that and actually making it happen. I love that you're such a big action taker. You know, when you get an idea, you work
that
on it.
That I am.
So because a lot of people go with, they have the ideas, but it just stays as an idea, always as a dream, you know. And so it's an inspiration for a lot of other women to also move forward in their journey. And if they have dreams and they have ideas, to actually make them happen, you know. So now tell me one more thing is, have you also put your story in there?
Yeah, so a part of my story is definitely there. I think every life is like a book with many chapters. So some chapters of my life are in there too.
Would you like to share your journey, how you actually got into all of this? I saw in your biography that, you know, you started at the age of 11.
Yeah.
And so can you tell a little bit about yourself so people know what and how you got into all of this?
Yeah. So I think if someone were to look at me right now, you know, they'd say, oh my God, she must have been a born speaker, born leader sorts. And there's a lot of now glitz and glamour attached to me all of a sudden, thanks to all this media coverage. But I actually grew up as a shy, timid child with severe social anxiety. Okay. So I come from a family where the perception is fair is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And fair meaning, I hate to use the term, but Snow White fair. And I'm only using that for reference sake. So, you know, a lot of my cousins are really, really, really fair. Okay. And
so hold you 1 minute right here. I want to underline, you know, this two things here. As we go, I'm going to, for people who are timid, shy, and have social anxiety, you can move forward in your life. Almaz Virani is an inspiration for that. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes. And second part, if you're not Snow White fair, you can still do things in life.
Yeah. Your world does not begin and end with, you know, there is going to be a Prince Charming, my knight in charming armor that's going to come and rescue me and as a damsel in distress. You know, those were ideas that I had. And I think that's because we're so conditioned to believe in these things, right? So my journey literally started there. And I was told that it's going to be very difficult for a Prince Charming to arrive on a white horse for you because of the way you are. So I'm really tall. Okay, I'm about 5'8". And I was this tall when I was, I think, in my eighth grade. And I had braces and I wasn't really Snow White fair. I had, wheatish skin color. And that was not the recipe for a very beautiful girl in the definition of the society, right? So I found it very difficult to kind of mingle around with cousins, family members around. And I was very shy. And somewhere I also felt because I wasn't beautiful in a certain definition, I was also not very intelligent. So I would keep quiet. But I was a very intelligent student. I would read and write really well. Mm-hmm. And my best friend was this blackboard with chalk. You know, I would keep writing. I still have that memory. So I would write very well. And there was this opportunity for someone to give an Independence Day speech in school. And I don't know, for it was like the universe was at work that day. I was 11 years old and a girl sitting next to me on the bench kind of nudged me and she said, go for it. And I said, no way. And she just simply nudged me. And I don't know what happened in that moment, Bhavna. I did this. And the teacher said, okay, Alma Asvirani. And she left the room. I was like, what have I gotten myself into? But then I had made a commitment there and I had to do it. So I wrote my speech. It was 15th August, India's Independence Day. And I got ready for it and I had to go on stage and I still vividly remember that moment. My knees were trembling, you know, my jaw was locked, my throat was parched. I was really, really scared and trembling. I got on stage, right? And I looked at the mic for the first time. And the moment I said hello is when I realized I had a connection there. There was something different about that space, you know, with me talking in the mic. And I gave my first speech. And the moment I kind of ended the speech, 500 students in the audience actually clapped. And that was the loudest appreciation, Bhavna, that I'd heard for myself. You know, this so-called ugly duckling had heard the loudest appreciation ever. And something cracked open within me. It was like an eagle almost cracked open that day and she wanted to fly. So that's where my journey started. Okay. After that, there was no looking back. So I kind of became the designated speaker for a lot of debates, inter-school, intra-school, inter-college, intra-college. Then I went on to being a radio jockey for a while for a music store. I also did a lot of stand-up events and then I moved into corporate training. So the mic became my companion and life's a full circle. So I came back to podcasting and I'm empowering people to do that. So it's not been easy, Bhavna, you know, because I, like you said, if you have social anxiety, if you struggle to talk, doesn't mean it cannot happen. It's a skill. I put in hours learning the skill as a child. And, you know, I literally put myself in the swimming pool and I would drown, but I would still stand up and swim again. So I think that's what helped me.
So this is good to know because a lot of, youth all around the world, I live in America and you are in India. So I have seen youth in America as well as in India who struggle with social anxiety because yeah. They're so much into the electronics. For them to actually open up and meet people, that creates social anxiety. So it's very nice to hear that a person with social anxiety can also empower people because they only believe they cannot do anything.
Right, absolutely.
So that thought is like, I can't do anything. I think this is a powerful thing for, you know, you coming out with the story of that little girl. And, you know, I actually was thinking like eagle and I was like, it's like phoenix. You took and became a phoenix and, you know, phoenix has arisen. And so that is so nice. So then tell us how now that you are empowering women and other people, how is that for you? What do you get out of that? Like, is there, you know, do you get empowered or do you feel happy? Like, what led you to continue doing this work?
So I had never really, I didn't dream of being this change maker, activist, feminist. No. I mean, I didn't even know what feminism was, if a word like that existed for a very long time in my life. Okay. But there were some circumstances that happened in my life, you know, some chapters, like I said, my life is a book and so is yours. And we have some chapters and some of the most interesting chapters of my life, were not very easy on my soul, Bhavna. Mm-hmm. Okay. and they were not easy on me as a woman.
Would you like to share a little bit about?
So I went through a divorce. Okay. And see, it's never an easy situation for anyone. For both partners, it is a tough journey, you know, when you're separating. But what happens, especially in an Indian context, is there are a lot of fingers that are specifically pointed at a woman.
Yes.
In that situation, there's a lot of taboo around divorce as such, right? And a lot of people could not really understand why I was taking the decision that I was taking, right? And what was really happening to me. They all meant well for me, Bhavna. But the thing is that I would say that patriarchy has conditioned all of us and some people even more. And therefore, they're not really able to understand why people do what they do. So this entire episode of my life was a soul searching experience. Okay. And what happened at this point in time is I started seeking a lot of answers. You know, why is it that I'm being told this because I'm a woman? You know, why is it that I'm being perceived in a certain manner? Is it only because I'm a woman? How much of this is true? You know, how many, I mean, there's so many labels around this situation. How much of it is true and why is it happening? So I started studying, right? So I started educating myself. And that is what led
me. At that point in time, did you go in a depression or you never went into that? Like people, when they go through this phase, I've helped a lot of women with divorce when they are going through divorce or they've gone through that. So they go into the depression of, you know, my life has come to an end. And so did you also go through that?
Oh, yes, I have struggled immensely. And I think there's nothing to hide. In fact, if you read the chapters of my book, I have acknowledged my life coach and my therapist as well. I think it's very important to work on yourself, right? Mental health is extremely important. And we are humans. And I think it is the stronger ones that are actually, you know, strong enough to say that I have a problem. Please help me. I didn't want to be in denial, Bhavna. Yes. I had a son to raise. I wanted to ensure that I give him a happy childhood. And it's not an easy journey even today. You know, I struggle. So
I love that.
Wrong about yes. Talking about it.
I love the fact that you said that you were not in denial, because so many people actually go in denial when they go in, you know, into a circumstance in their life and they never accept that they are, you know, in pain or they need help. They're always in. And so that even if they continue their life, they are miserable because they're not able to see that they need help. So I love that fact that you accepted that you needed help and you went forward, you know?
Yeah. I got onto a spiritual journey at that point in time. So this entire study of feminism and the spiritual journey is all happening parallelly, okay? While my divorce is happening and there's so much drama happening in my life. But I think this is what helped me, right? And there are different stages of grief, right? And it all starts with anger. So I was this angry young woman who wanted to bash every angry young man. And I didn't understand why were men allowed to be angry and women were not allowed to be angry. So I went back and I did a whole lot of study around this and it started wrong. Okay. And then I realized that it's not the man's fault. The man himself is a victim of the patriarchal construct of the society. You know, it's patriarchy that's a problem. It's not the man. The man is equally struggling. We're telling the man, don't cry. I mean, he's a human being for crying out loud. So I did a lot of study and that's how I kind of had this explosion of energy. And that's where Expressor as an idea was formed. Okay. So I wanted to bring a collective force of women to support each other. Also, because at that point in time, Bhavna, for some reason, I had a lot of women supporting me.
That's so nice.
So I felt like, you know, women across the world could support each other on multiple levels. Why not? So that is where the seed of this whole Expressor as an idea was born. And also I wanted to plunge into entrepreneurship. I took a course, an entrepreneurship course, and that's how it all started. So your question really was what do I feel, you know, when I'm sort of trying to help women? I think I see, sometimes I see a broken part of myself in some of these women.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That are also struggling to find themselves. Sometimes I kind of want to also help them understand that they are worthy. right? And they are complete in their own self. Sometimes I struggle to feel that myself, but you know, I've come a long way in understanding that. So I want to spread that awareness to women. I want to help women understand their own worth, right? And support each other, because that's been my journey. So I kind of feel that I'm ready to spread this light. And that's why I feel so connected.
That is so nice, because just the part to know that, and to know for a woman when they are at their lowest point, that they are worthy, because they don't even believe in themselves at that time, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's the way, you know, sometimes when you hear stories, somebody else's story where they have gone through worse situation, and or they connect themselves with that situation, can empower them and inspire them to come out of it and be like, okay, if she feels she's worthy, I can do it too. You know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Exactly. And so this is such a powerful thing, because I teach workshops on that. I talk about, how do you feel I'm good? You know, how do you feel I'm worth it? Because people have put you down, then you are not able to feel that way. So I bring that out, I release that emotion, because, and I'm glad that you went through that spiritual journey of finding yourself and then coming out, because that makes you much more stronger from within. And that brings that, you know, and that's why you talk about in my program is Shine Your Light. My mastermind is all about that, helping women. And actually I'm doing both, because we have to create a balance in the world, right? So it is so interesting as we are talking, because I never told you about my mastermind, which is...
Yeah, and I'm talking about light.
You're talking about that. And my program is Shine Your Light, and with relationships, Shine Your Light with money, and Shine Your Light spiritually, you know? So it's like interesting that you're talking about that. So I was like, wow, this is, you know, we are all synchronized. There's like this... something above divine, which is going in and connected us. Like,
absolutely.
As we're talking, I wanted to tell everybody, like, I connected with Almas. Like, there was this part of me which wanted to do podcasting. I had podcast. I've had this business for a very long time, and I had a marketing person and who had recorded me, and I had a podcast. I had some series there. But I never knew what to do and how to do it myself. So it was there online, but you know, I never checked it and nothing. Like, I was like, okay, he's taking care of it. And he thought I was doing, so we never did it. It was still sitting there. So then I closed my center down because of COVID. And then I was just rebranding myself. And I was like, this thought was coming, like, I need to do podcasts. And I was like, but I had that, let me check that. And then when I went back, that did not align with me. Because I was rebranding, I was like, I need to do it myself and know everything myself. And I was trying to find, and I put it out on Facebook, and a couple of people reached me, you know, and I spoke with a couple of people, interviewed them, and then you reached out and I spoke with you, and boom, it was like that. We just connect, and I was like, she's the one. I'm going to connect with her. I'm going to do it.
And I think you were almost a last minute participant, and look where we are today.
And you were just starting. I think you'd already done one class, and then I jumped on. And I'm so glad you reached out, because I mean, you could have been like, you know, I'll join you in the next program, but you were like, I'm starting. You want to join in? I was like, sure, I would jump in. And that was an eye-opener in how easy, and I just love doing it. Like, I realized how much easy it is. It's like, and you made it sound so easy. So I was like, I'm just loving doing it. And so this is like my first interviewing somebody else. I've been interviewed by so many people, but I'm excited that I'm
interviewing
you.
Are you enjoying this right now?
I am. I'm like absolutely enjoying this.
That's the power of podcasting. You can just be yourself. You don't have to really worry about judgments and how you're looking, etc. It's just fun. So in fact, you know, the book came out now, but my journey of really expressing myself started with a podcast. It's a very powerful medium
and
to really
tell us about what's the name of your podcast?
The podcast,
check it out. Yeah. What is
the one on gender stereotypes, which I started with? It's called Beyond Cliche.
Okay.
Yeah. And it is about people that have actually broken gender stereotypes. So wonderful. My podcast was about my purpose, my cause, my activism, and that's where it all started. And, you know, it just helped me get my message across in the world and see where it is today. I mean, podcasting is genuinely a very powerful medium and an easy medium too.
That's nice. That's good to know, because I have started and I remember sharing it with you. One day I was so excited and I tried GarageBand and I spoke on that for, I think, 40 minutes. And I was like, yay, this is so good. And I love the content I was talking, because when you go into it and you just, unfortunately, I forgot to press the record button. And I was like, oh my God.
Podcasting is easy as long as you press the record button.
Yeah, exactly. That was my first time trying the GarageBand. So I had pressed the mic, but I didn't realize I had to press the record too. So there were different buttons there. So I was like, okay, it's a learning curve. It'll come.
Nature has its own way of teaching us things through experiences.
Yes. Tell us, so you are also a single mom.
Yeah.
So how's that journey been with you?
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's quite a journey. Okay. It is quite a journey because you have to earn your bread and bake it too.
Right.
And you got to do it every day, mm-hmm. week on week, month after month. And now for me, year after year. Right. And it does get tiring, Bhavna. It's tiring, it's physically exhausting. And also at the same time, you kind of feel it's a huge responsibility, mm-hmm. because you feel guilty at times, you know. So if I'm not able to give my son enough time, I feel guilty. If I kind of slip up a little bit somewhere as a mother, I feel guilty. So I think guilt comes along with that sometimes. The other thing, you know, the flip side of this whole thing is he's also my strength, my biggest strength. The reason I am able to get up, dress up, show up, get up and move, you know, even on the days where I was like a wreck mentally, I still had the courage and the strength to do that because of him. So it's a phenomenal journey. I think being a parent is very powerful. Yeah. But again, it's a huge responsibility, and kids are actually watching you. You know, you can't tell a child, don't shout when you're shouting yourself.
So, right. And so how does he look at your journey? How is he about that?
So it's been, you know, we've been together alone, I think, for about 5 years now. And I think we've grown together. So he is also a spiritual child. He's a very evolved child himself. And we've grown together in our journey. Okay. And he, the other day, in fact, he told me that you're not just a good mom, you're a great mom. And I don't think anyone could ask for a better mom than you. And I was like, wow, you made my day. So
I feel that for a mom is the biggest award, you know, coming from, you know, your own child and hearing that just makes life worth it.
Definitely. So there is definitely a certain level of admiration that he has. Also, he understands, you know, my struggles. I think I don't treat him really like a child. He's a friend. We have a lot of open conversations. And I think that really helps, because I want him to know. Why should I hide? I want him to know that this is a day mama is not feeling too good. This is a day mama is facing a struggle. This is a day mama is getting up, standing up, and still showing up. You know, this is a day mama has achieved something. And this is a day mama wants to teach you happiness. So it's an interesting journey where we are quite open with each other with a lot of things. It's a beautiful journey. And I hope it gets better as time passes by.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now I want to ask you, as we wrap up, you know, what would you like to tell the audience, and how would you, you know, give your two minute or something, you know, where you can tell them, if they go through a bad phase in life, how should they come out of it? Mm-hmm. What would be your inspiring sentence or something?
Okay, that puts a lot of pressure on me. But anyway, I am no guru.
I'm putting you on the spot right now.
So I am no guru. In fact, my podcast, Unplugged Baate, is to tell you that I'm an unplugged soul. You know, I just decided to unplug from a lot of conditioning of the society and get onto a different path. What I want to share is so synchronized with what you're doing, right? Because I truly believe in this whole in the power of light that we carry within us. Okay, so at the end of the day, we are souls full of light. But what happens is that light gets covered with a layer of shadow. Actually, I said the same thing in a podcast yesterday, and I feel like it's necessary to repeat it here because it's also in line with what you're doing, right? Shining in your own light. What does it mean? It means that all of us have a lot of light within us. We all have a purpose within us, right? We all have our own unique voice that needs to go out in the world, right? And I think what happens is it gets covered with layers of darkness. Mm-hmm. It gets covered with layers of darkness, and this darkness is nothing but the conditioning of the mind.
Right.
And if you're able to sort of, you know, decode that and uncover the layers and get rid of the shadow, you're going to shine bright. And when you shine bright, you're definitely going to take that light out in the world and be a lamp for a lot of people. And that's easy to do. It's, while I say it is easy to do, it's work. Okay. It's not impossible. There's work to do, but it is possible. It is possible. And after a point, it becomes easy because you're shining in your own light. So our job actually is to discover that light within. So I would encourage all of us to get on to that ugly journey of uncovering those layers.
Join my program. So
I'm not promoting your program.
I'm just saying.
I wasn't asked to do this, by the way, but it's just the right thing to do, right? Because you can either live a life on autopilot, subconscious, you can lead a subconscious life on autopilot where you're just living, right? Or you could be totally aware and living, and that is possible.
Yes, that's very well said, because, you know, you have to live your life. And we go through emotions, we go through circumstances. Some put us down, others lift us. But it's within us, we all have a soul, and every soul comes with their own light, their own unique light. You know, as I call myself the golden light, you know, everybody has their own light. But some experiences, traumas can put out that light. So it's important to ignite that light back. And start to experience, and then start to bring it out and start to shine that, and, you know, inspire others. It's like we could all see, we are all, if somebody was looking at Earth from above, you know, everybody light starts to shine. It'll be for them, our Earth will be like a star, twinkling star.
Wow.
You know, but it is not a twinkling star till we all start shining our light. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
This is how I see it. Like, if you look at the stars, that means there's a planet there where everybody, all the souls living in that planet, they have their light shining out. And that's how it's twinkling in the night. If we all start shining, our planet will also start to twinkle.
Beautiful, beautiful. Very well said.
You know, so that's my big purpose. And it just totally aligns with what you're saying, is like, that's why my goal is to make people aware they have their light. And I want to support that. And I want to be the torch for everybody's light, to bring that out, to see you are so worth it. And you're so unique, and you're so beautiful, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And there is nothing glamorous about this. Okay. It's a lot of work, and it's daily work. It is daily cleansing. It is daily work that you have to do.
Exactly. And it, you know, when I even go through, take people through that, because I do workshops and retreats, there are moments where I make you aware of the darkness or the trauma, bring it out. And then I tell people when they come with me, I'm like, I'm going to make you cry, but then I'm also going to make you laugh. I'm going to make you feel who you are. I'm going to make you dance. I'm going to make you like jump in ecstasy, or I might make you fall down to the ground and cry. Or I do crazy things. Like, I'll go hug a tree. Even when I come to India, you know, with my retreats, I'll go hug a big, huge tree. I'll see it on the street. And people know that, okay, she can do that.
A tree hugger is actually a thing. I mean,
yes. And I think I'm one of the biggest tree huggers. You know, I go anywhere I go, I see a big, huge tree. I have to hug it.
Wow. It's a huge force of life there, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing how, you know, you can feel that. And actually, it's like, you know, they are so grounded. I feel the big, huge trees, they're so grounded. When you hug them, they bring their light into you and hug you back with that light. So when I am one with that, I feel that light of that tree coming in and supporting me and grounding me back into Mother Earth to help me shine my own light, you know? So,
wow.
And then I can go out and, you know, shine my light to support others. So with this, thank you.
I'm feeling illuminated, Bhavna.
I'm just going to give you a virtual hug.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, hopefully one day we will meet soon. But until then, keep shining your light. Keep talking, doing this wonderful work you are doing and empowering, inspiring women all across the border and letting them shine, be who they are and bring their voices out, because that is so important, you know. And it's interesting. I just want to even acknowledge that part. Like when I was on your program and I heard so many others, you know, podcasters, I listened to their podcast. It was so nice to see that, their journey as well and their stories. And some of them are still in touch. And I just love hearing that. I'm like, this is so beautiful, you know, inspiring. And everybody is all from different backgrounds and different stories. It's a beautiful thing, you know. So thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you, Bhavna.
You know, and that's why I wanted to start the interviews. I was like, no, nothing better than starting with you, because I know it's going to go rock.
Thank you so much. I feel grateful.
So thank you for coming on my show, accepting, and I'm honored. And just love the work you're doing and continue doing that. Namaste.
Yes. Same goes for you. Take care. Namaste.
Namaste.